any time. The Kavash Gacha Pratis. To Kala Lashin, I want to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom himself for everything. Hakel. L'chaim Tevim L'shalom. I want to thank Jack Daniels for the good service. By the way, we changed it to Johnny Walker. Over Purim, we developed a new taste. There's Johnny. Come here. Bring gold label Johnny. It's a good man, Johnny. Got to know him, Rabbi Isai. Wanted the Eilim to get to know my friend Johnny Walker. A gold label reserve. Gavaldi. Listen, Rabbi Isai. L'chaim Baruch HaTorah Adonai Eloheinu Hey, Ramach Oilam Shakel Midori. Now guess what happened, Rabbi said. Chaim, Yeshua, Tfali Eden, everyone, without exception. Yeah, what?
No, he's very stuck with the prophecy.
He is. They'll never, ever get him. They might as well. They're going to get so out of. Just forget it. They don't stand a chance. Asher's a tzaddik. Forget it. Now, stories like this. This guy went to a Leviathan. And as somebody, he noticed the man at the Leviathan screaming to the dead person, and it goes on and on and on. And everyone wonders, what happened here? what did this dead body do to this poor gozing around saying, so finally they ask him, what happened here? Who is this fellow? He said, this fellow is my shatzin. And there was a lady twitching in the back with the lady screaming, I'm Michael. Who's that? He's my shatzin too. I'm Michael. They both stopped in Nemeth. Anyway, in Nevada, they wouldn't do that. In Nevada, they say, thanks a million for fixing me up with this, not quite. You know, the world, they would say, they made a mistake in Shemayim, fixed me up in Shemayim. In Nevarik, they'd say, no, this is exactly the way it's supposed to be, you know. I heard Rabbi Miller say this in public. I was sitting there. The worse she is, the better it is. Don't try too hard, ladies. He probably said the same thing to the ladies. The worse he is, the better it is. Anyway. Okay, now, Rabbi Gershon Liebman's yard site is Toftes Adar. Rabbi Gershon Liebman, should have a lichtige Gan Eden. What a schuss it is to talk about that person, Rabbi Gershon Liebman. When I came to France the first time, I had the feeling like he's looking at me 24/7. He had his eyes on me. I didn't chop. This man simply doesn't exist. He's there for you. He's looking at you, and that's all he cares about. He doesn't even chop. We once walked to the Beis Abdidus. Orly is the name of the place. A place called Orly. In the forest. It's called Orly. It's a very big Beis Abdidus. It's a big center there. Orly. Near a bubbling brook. It's beautiful. It's so geschmack. That's your brain starts working. You know, you're not in the city life. You know, you're away and away. Psychologically, the environment is a very into forests. They believe a lot in that. You're a different person. You're finally using your own. They feel that a human being is not using his brains because his brains belong to the people around him. They are affecting every move he makes, every thought is according to the way they think. And their way of thinking ain't healthy. They're into genotype of COVID. All of them. The biggest tzaddik of genotype of COVID. Come on. I didn't get to see the Kedushin. You know that? Now I see who they hold from. Now they hold from me. Or I did get to see the Kedushin. Mm-hmm. So that's what you want? What people think is that's the whole thing. That's in the next world, they're going to ask you, how did you do with the Eibishter? What does he think about you? It's not, but people league and cover, that's the whole lies. Geshe was just the opposite. He couldn't care less what anybody thought of him. He was a super happy person. I saw him visiting the Berach Moshe in Monroe. He was to collect money for Novartis. He was sitting there like, this is my house, Rabbi. It's nice to see you here, but I'm in charge around here. That's mamish, the body language. I was sitting there with my brother. We were both amazed. I never saw anybody collect money. Any guy comes to collect money looks like, you know, could you please, you know, they're all like Mr. Nobody, an ant next to an elephant. And that's Peter, because Hashem gave this guy money. Who do you think he is? He's a big knacker because he has money. Maybe the guy with less money is a bigger knacker because he's going to have an Olam Haba waiting for him. Now listen to this one. Gershon once took a special trip, an hour more, to go to a big gvir that once learned Navarti. Comes to the gvir, and the gvir is riding high. He's sitting there with his pool and his patio and he's got a house like, you know, about a couple of bathrooms all over the place. There was a Yid in Los Angeles. This is what they, I don't believe it's true, but whatever. They said he had 16 bathrooms in his palace. And he came from a Hungarian shtetl, a little dirt road shtetl, you know. And there were two shtetlers together. And they say he once made a remark, I have more bathrooms in my house than both shtetlers put together. That's how many bathrooms he has in the house. No. The Chazal say a lot of nice things about having a bathroom. Chazal say that it's a bathroom is a very important thing. Chazal, not shy. It's important. Whatever. So, some people are mahader in that mitzvah. Basically, Karla Besa, you know, it's a big thing. So, Bikirti, he came down, he spent an hour and a half lambasting this fellow. Agvir, you talk like that to me? You talk like that? You know who you're talking to? Yes, I'm talking like that to you. Now, Rav Gershon wasn't fazed by his 16 bathrooms, whatever he had there. You're not impressing me that he's got a palace. It's Rachmanis. That makes you feel important. You don't feel good unless you look like you own the world. He spent an hour and a half wiping the floor with him. I heard, I believe, maybe two stories like that. Rav Gershon used to do this. And he didn't intend to get anything. One story, I mean, he wasn't there to get money. He was there to put the guy in his place. He was there to show the Yevishter, I have you. I don't need nobody. He really felt it. You go to Gvir, it's, you lose your, you become like, you know, a Nebuch who needs other people. It kills you. When you look up to people, he gave me money, he didn't. HaKoros Tova. What about Koros Tova that he gave to your hands and your feet and your eyes and your nose? No. People, they're too involved. You know, the Chavis of Oven Shayyich and Amaisa says that the reason why people are more afraid of other people is because, more than Hashem, they don't recognize how much they owe Hashem and how little they owe people. People don't, they owe you nothing. You owe them nothing. If they did you a favor, it's only because Hashem put it in their heads to do it for you. You don't owe anybody except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's such a baloney. And everyone's busy worshiping each other. Now you have to be a man. Shakar Steva. Rav Moshe Feinstein used to speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Steva. There's a mice that he told over there. So the one who tells the story, this guy, it wasn't a concentration. He was an English soldier who was decorated a million times over. His name was Gabriel something, a Jew, who was a super decorated British soldier during World War II. And the Germans captured him, and they wanted to get rid of him or do who knows what to him. And the British told him, if you do that, every German POW is dead. And they meant it. Because he's a star soldier by us. He's much decorated. And you feel like you got a big fish. But we're not going to let you get away with that stuff. We're going to let you have it. So don't you dare touch him. So what the Germans did instead, they didn't kill him. Instead, they took the guy and they put him in a glass cage in the middle of a big street, and they fed him for 48 hours. They fed him nothing in a glass cage. That means he was, whatever he did, the whole world had to see. He had horrible busyness. You know, he had no facilities to do anything there. And he was starving away every once in 48 hours. His guard, who stood next to him, took out one piece of bread. He spat on it and stepped on it and put it in dust and then fed it to him. And that's it every 48 hours. He was there for months and months and months. And he had to go through this horrible busyness. And later, after the war was over, he was freed. They asked him, what would you do to that guard if you met him? He said, I would kiss him and hug him. He told me, why? Because I have nothing without him. Without him, I was dead. So yeah, I had bazillions, but I'm alive because of him. So I think they wanted to bring out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thankfulness. No matter what, we were in Mitzrayim. They treated us like dogs. But you still, Mitzri, you have to get Yisa beyond, so you have to have a certain HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an extremely important mitzvah. You can't imagine how big it is. The whole kibbutz of aim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You gotta be thankful, 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 thankful. But I'm into being thankful to the Eibishter. I recommend don't stop with that. Don't stop. Be thankful day and night. Thank your head off. Thank you for everything. Now, when things go wrong, that's when you thank even more. Don't be impressed. You did an Aveira. Thank you, Eibishter, that I'm not that bad. Keep saying thank you. You want to do a mitzvah that you're not doing, instead of kvetching that you're not doing the mitzvah. Thank you, Eibishter, that I want to do that mitzvah. I recommend this big time. You have one track mind. Thank you day and night. You're going to be the happiest person in the world. If you could say thank you 24/7, but don't stop with that. Because the HR is going to get in your case with the frum stuff. That's called davening. That's called learning. That's been on the Haveda. It'll kill you. The HR kills you all the time. Don't listen to that stuff. Unless you want to do tshuva, it has some tachlis to it. Otherwise, 24/7, thank you, thank you. Say it as much as you can. Make it be as a half hour a day. Moshe Schwab, I heard. An hour a day, you say thank you all the time to Hashem. And when he once came to Lakewood, his face was beaming. The whole Lakewood lit up from him. They never saw anything like it. He was always, his smile was unreal. Rated, by the way, he once confided to somebody in his mishpacha. It's a fake smile. It's hard to believe. It started off fake, but he was a Kelma type, you know. They worked on Horace Ponham how to be friendly and that type of stuff. He was a Mary, led by Reb Yerucham, I believe. Reb Yerucham, Reb Chatzel. Anyway, so he had a kavias every single day to thank Hashem for a full hour. That's what makes a face like that. Spend a full hour, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks again. No, thanks for this. For the hands, the feet. Thanks for Johnny Walker. Eibishter made Johnny Gold Label, and thanks to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Everything, thank you, thank you, thank you. You'll be a happy person. I want to tell you a little bit about Reb Yeshen. His yard site's coming up. Such a holy person, not shy. Ramon Kreiser, that's all. He was from the Lions of the Altamirs. He was the biggest in America. He was Reb Shmuel Bruni's brother-in-law. And Reb Nachum Pachovitz, so you think... They say between the three of them, he held his own. If not, he was not bigger. I had to do with him learning. I can't describe what he was in learning. I asked him one little thing. He liked the sugya. It was in second paragraph of Makkos. And he spent an hour looking at it and thinking about it. Then he gave me a shear. Every word he said was a whole shear. It was a lamdin and a tzaddik. It was nothing like him. He said, Reb Gershon Lieberman is the Tzaddik Ador. And he said, the reason is because he has no Olam Hazeh. There's a Rach, he brought down a Chagiga, I believe. A person who has no Olam Hazeh. Now, We don't look at that as like a good thing. No, Elamazah, never. There's a Maisa with the Elder of Navardik. He got into a fight with somebody. He saw somebody. He didn't like the Sheikhet. This Sheikhet is a Russia. They have to expose him. He was screaming about the Sheikhet. This man in Shul, he was carrying on about a certain Sheikhet. He didn't like him. He's bad. He's terrible. So the Elder of Navardik went over to him. He said, you know, you're embarrassing this man in public. How are you allowed to do that? You don't lose your Elam Haba. It's kedai to lose your Elam Haba to put that man in his place. That's what he answered him. So the Alta von Varding says, I see. You're ready to lose your Elam Haba in a second. I'd like to see you talk like that about losing your Elam Hazeh. You say goodbye to peaches, you ready for that? It was Europe, they didn't have, but they had other stuff, whatever they had there. You can say no more steaks, no more of that stuff, you sure? No more good times, or whatever you do with your Olam Hazeh, your fun. You ready to give that up? Olam Hazeh, kedai to lose my whole Olam Hazeh. Let's see you say it's kedai to lose your Olam Hazeh. That's not so fast. So why are you giving away your Olam Hazeh so fast? Because you don't think, you're not machshavit, you don't chap. What Olam Haba is all about. You know, I was just speaking to my Talmidim today about what Olam Haba is. Olam Haba. They say the Alter von Slabodka used to talk, I think on Shabbos, he used to light up and he used to talk about the pleasures, the ruchniistic pleasures waiting for us. People don't talk about these things. Do you know what Olam Haba is awaiting us for coming here to this vat? Do you know how much Olam Haba you're going to get for wearing a yarmulke? You think it's a joke? How much olam haba, how much fun you're going to get for wearing tittis? Do you know how much simcha you're going to get for having a hard life? That's the best part. Do you know how much olam haba you're going to get for all the yisurim you went through? Do you know what a second of Gan Eden is? They should talk about it day and night. Make people a little bit more, lift them up. They don't talk about it. So they don't, when they do a mitzvah, yeah. What do you mean? You know, just have the smallest mitzvah. By the way, Yerush Tzaddikim says you get 1,000 times more sar if you have a simcha shel mitzvah. 1,000 times more sar if you have a simcha shel mitzvah. So it's so kedai to talk about Olam Haba. I'm not against talking about Gehenim either. By the way, my class loves me because of my Gehenim stories. That a mother once told this to me. It was summertime. And she, after the summer, she said, Rabbi Mandel, my son loved you. Those stories of Gehenna were terrific. So I didn't want to say anything. I said, lady, if he really believed in Gehenna, he wouldn't be so happy. It's fun to hear it like you go into these amusement park and you go on these scary rides. So they like to scare themselves. The guy see chiller thrillers on their televisions sets, they see weird, crazy, scary things. They watch it for recreation. You know, they want to relax. They go watch people chopping off whatever they do there, whatever a guy can think of. That's they enjoy because they don't have any. But anyway, if a person would have any idea what Gehenna was, he wouldn't. He'd be very happy the next time something goes wrong in his life. He'd be very happy. I think it was Ramatis Yo once told me. I says, what keeps you going when you have your peklach? He says, because I know it's not the only world. There's another world. You know how much easier it is to live here if you have a mind, there's another world. So much. Rav Weinkrantz told me that with one hergish, you can keep you going a whole life. One hergish. Once a lady told him, I want to commit to it. I want to jump off a roof. Why? Because once a week, I go to my husband's house, and his mother screams at me in public. Everybody hears and everybody sees. And she has a squeaky voice. She's nasty like crazy. I want to jump off a roof. Rabbi Weinkrantz, I can't live anymore. So Rabbi Weinkrantz said, I'm going to give you one hergish that's going to keep you going for the rest of your life. One thing is enough. Any person that comes to a home situation, and he doesn't have any baggage going on, he doesn't have any difficulties going on, it's over. He's not worth a dime. It says, if somebody spends 40 days without Yisurim, keep a list of Lamai. You got your Lamaba, but don't know a Lamaba for you. You're having such a good time here. You're supposed to have that. That's the way you grow. With a crazy wife, a crazy kid, a crazy, or maybe you're the problem, which is usually. And if I think they would say, it's only me. I told you the Maisa with the coffee. I told you the Maisa with the coffee. You heard it? I told you? You heard the Maisa? Oh, you heard it? Maisa with the coffee. My father's not tall. He used to tell the story. This guy wanted to get the top grade coffee in the country. So he got it with this place in Manhattan. He had to go up 20 floors to get to the place where the guy sold coffee, the best coffee in the world. And he comes up there, and the guy says, oh, what would you like? He says, well, let's see the best coffee. Oh, well, on this floor, the best we have is from John F. Kennedy's inaugural ball. They serve this coffee. Come, you'll wait till you taste, smell this stuff. And he gives him a bunch of coffee beans, and you take a whiff. Take a whiff. Nah, no good, no good. No good? All right, no problem. Come. Go up another few floors, 20 floors up. Now, taste this. From Abraham Lincoln's inaugural bowl. This you never smelled in your life. Come, take a whiff. Takes a whiff. Nah, I don't like it. You don't like it? No. Okay, come. Goes all the way up. This is from George Washington. Ooh, his chasana. And he comes from George Washington's chasana. He takes a whiff. Ugh, disgusting. I don't like it. So the guy looks at him. He says, you know, I'm afraid you have a problem. What? What do you mean? The coffee beans are no good. Yes, they are very good. You have a problem. Why? Your hands, before you came in, there's a sign downstairs. Wash your hands. The schmaltz hating that you ate this morning in the base medrash is still on your hands. You don't smell anything but that fashtunk and the schmaltz hating. It's still on your hands. So you don't like any of the coffees. So my father used to tell me that joke. But I want to tell you, that's in the Vardig. It's all you. You don't like the wife. You don't like the kids. You don't like, you know, see, I have to go through so much. It's your own problem. If you learned the right Musa, you're fine. It doesn't bother you. You don't like Bezianus, so learn Musa on Bezianus. You know how good Bezianus is? Learn Musa on it. If you have whatever, this is no good to you. Look, you can have him. So anyway, so Weinkrantz told this woman, anybody who comes to a house without a big issue waiting for him, he's not worth a penny. That kept her going for the rest of her life. Then another woman complained a similar thing. She gets embarrassed a lot. She has trouble. He told her different things. Remember that all the tzaras you get here save you from Gehenna. And 1 second of Gehenna is worse than the entire Nazi Holocaust. Remember that, Hergish, for the rest of your life. He saved the woman. That's enough. That'll keep you going. You don't need more. Take one Hergish and sit on it. Pick one that you like and sit on it for the rest of your life. You'll be a happy person. That's the body. They know how to be happy. They live with the next world. The Abdeshim was super happy. Was he happy? You know, after the war, everyone's getting married. He wasn't shy of having children. The Nazis did a job on him. I knew somebody who was in this room. He told me he was involved in the Tyra of Reb Gershon. He said, Reb Gershon had, I know that his foot, so something was funny with his heel, something was funny with his arm. Everybody knew he couldn't do Hagba. Something was funny with his nose. He used to always do something. His voice was odd. They knocked him from head to toe. He broke this, they broke that, they smashed this, broke that. And he walked around like the happiest person you ever met. Don't ask me how he did it. But that's the way Reb Yeshua was. Azad Tzadik. And how did he do it? With the power of Limud HaMusa. Limud HaMusa did the job. Learn Musa, Rabbi Yisai. Learn Musa. Le'ilu Nishmas. Reb Yeshua ben Reb Chaim Avram. There's no suffix in the next world. He's dancing. If he knows I'm saying this, he's going to be proud of me. Le'ilu Nishmas. To learn Musa by him. Musa was Ganeidin. We used to learn Musa. The way he learned that, I recall him taking off his jacket or the other name, taking off his hat. I don't remember Musa say the bean. Okay, let's get from now. It's Musa. Don't. It's Musa. Easy, don't talk. It's Musa. That's not what I remember in the Vardig. I remember them. Let's learn Musa. The way they learned Musa, it was a hobby. It was a mamish. The cheddar sachayim was Musa. Ah, Musa. Yeah, I'll show you how. This guy just bothered you yesterday. They have it figured out. I cannot tie up and I cover. He just covered. So he bothered you. So what? I cannot tie up and I cover. He made seen us all them. Min ha'olam. I cannot tie up and I cover. Again, 50 times. You're a new person. It doesn't bother you. Or, you can't, primarily, you can't pay the bills. Just keep having betachin. You will pay the bills. You have betachin. You know how he got to the verdict? Gershom became a millionaire. He had at least $100 million, at least. They were the poorest yeshiva in the world. They didn't have bread to eat. But they harvested a lot on betachin, betachin, betachin. And one day, boom. Rav Gershon never really learned French. He was a multimillionaire. And he built, I saw apartment houses, a whole Paris. He owned this, he owned that, he owned yeshivas, another yeshiva, another yeshiva. He was rolling a dough. They were mamish making money. Where did, how did that happen? He couldn't even speak. He dealt with Moroccans. He didn't even know the Moroccan, you know, the Hebrew. He spoke a Ashkenazish Hebrew. Achshuv raboisai, ani roitzul dabair, imchu. Yeah, the Siddush of Taibi, he was Xveros, wasn't it, by the way? His father was Xveros. Anyway, he became a Novartigan. So he's, that's the way he talked. And that's like a joke. As far as I thought, the Israelis, you know, Ivrit, you gotta say it right, you know. And he said, if this Cain, I need right to Shuvoy Cain. That's what he spoke. And they loved him. He ran the show because he fapat the world. You see this? He used to do that every now and then. You know when he did it once? A bacher tried to run away, go home. He stole his ticket. And the bacher, where's the ticket? Rabbi Yoshin said, no ticket, get lost. They wouldn't let him go. It's not a joke. Navarik, back in the home, they used to do that. They used to blackmail. Oh, Navarik. They were tough men. They were mamish tough men. I know stories. They weren't pushovers. Not Navarik. By the way, they could smack you in your face also, Baram. Somebody once, I think he shaved in the sphere or something like that. Rav David Blacher went over to him in front of the whole base manager and smacked him up. I want to tell you, they were so edel and so sweet, but they had the midas down pat. Why don't people become tough? First of all, I don't recommend it nowadays. Anyway, I don't believe in the whole tough business, but there's a makom for it, and you got to know when. But Navadik, they knew when and they acted. They answered Chaim Kanevsky. They were started making alonim about Navardik. And Chaim, since he was born in Navardik, he's one of his father out of Stella in Pinsk, one of the big Navardik branches, main branch. And he was, so there's pictures of the stipler with little Chaim, cute little boy sort of pictures, a little chubby little yingala, Chaim Kanevsky. So he was born and bred in Navardik, you know. They're proud. That whole family, they're so proud to be in Navardik. The only thing is, they were the learning side of Navardik. No, I don't mean anything, what I'm saying now. But the part of Isharav, they is to, every religion has its Yetzirah. You know, the thing that you're not supposed to be doing. What was the Yetzirah in Navardik? So part of Isharav left. He said, by them, learning Moshe is the Yetzirah. So when you to get off the derech, you end up becoming gatz a masmid gemara taisis day and night. But you're not a musi, you're off the derech. So that was der yetzahara. You got what's going on? Chas v'chalila. The stipler turned out gatz fine. We're not worried about him. He's sitting in Gan Eden, the stipler, Chaim, Milan, and but to those who need musa, and they need it, and they have a different derech, it's not so simple. When you're supposed to be learning Musa and you're learning Gemara, it's not so simple. I would say even Reb Chaim would be maskim. They say a story with it. Even those that weren't so Musadic, you, but you're different. You better learn Musa or else you're dead. I spoke to big people, Rabbi Soloveitchik. I spoke to Reb Chaim Belinda. They weren't into, I asked him, how much Moses depends? Some people need a lot. Everybody's different. The Brisker Rav. Reb Yerucham Garela, Kizaynikol told me this. Brisker Rav, they don't like Musa. Oh, yeah, huh? The first week he came to Brisk, he remembers the Brisker Rav walking back and forth for hours learning Musa. Saying it was Yosla Kivisi Hashem, my kind of Musa, but talking Musa. That's what he did. That's the Brisker Rav. There's plenty of. Everybody holds a Muslim. No such thing. But some people should be learning more, and they're not. Because it's hard. No one's doing it. You don't have a chinuch for it. And so, shame. But I will tell you this, I have to repeat. I may have said it recently. I'll repeat it again. This fellow had trouble with a kid. His nasty little 10-year-old was turning over the house, turning over the school. And he calls me up. Rabbi Mendel, what should I do? He says, get together with your wife and start saying nice things about him, you know, and learn Musa. Betachon, will be all right. The kid's 2 months later, he calls me up. Rabbi Mendel is a new kid. He's 80% totally different. And my wife tells me that I look much younger. Hear that? When you learn Musa and you get a lot of positive thoughts, a lot of betachon thoughts swimming around your head instead of negative thoughts, you become younger. It's vitamins. My shvager, Matra Feder Zatzal, told me, there's nothing that makes a person tired like digas. That's why you're tired. You have worries in your head. I remember years ago, I used to fall asleep. I was very super quiet. Yes, my wife. No one believes me. But my wife knows the truth. Yes, I was super quiet. And when the family got together, I used to sit like this. And I used to fall asleep. Because I was bored. I mean, everyone's talking except for me, because I'm too afraid to open my mouth, just in case I'll say something stupid. So I was afraid. And besides, I couldn't keep up with everybody. I felt I was Mr. Nobody Minus. Seriously, that's until the Novartigas got a hold of me. They turned me around. Anyway, now I don't know how to stop talking. I have the opposite problem. How do you stop talking? Everybody said, maybe you can help me out. They say to Rav Shlomo Radon, used to talk a lot, and he was a magid, you know, that was his job. And he once asked Rabbi Lapian, how do I get myself to stop talking? He says, it's too late to work on that. That's what they say. I don't know if it's true, whatever. Anyway, but I got bored. Come to make yourself at home. Come here. I got bored. If I'm not talking, I'm not getting any covered. I'm watching everyone else. The more they're doing and I'm doing nothing, come and start making yourself at home. Johnny Walker's waiting for you. Come inside, give me a front seat. You want to come here? Anyway, so the, what was I saying? I got bored. You get bored if you're not getting covered. You know how to get no more bored? Write down all the compliments you heard about yourself. 10 of them, 5 of them, 10 of them, 100 of them. Write those compliments and believe them. And watch the energy. That's where your energy's coming from. Even if you didn't sleep last night. But if you build yourself up and remind yourself how great you are, you know another way to get energy, instant energy? Break your midos. You go against your nature. Do something that's scary. Go over to a scary looking guy and say hello to him. You broke the media. That gives energy. Amitus. Breaking midos keeps you young and fresh. Go against your teva. Be happy even though you had bezeinus. Had bezeinus? I'm so happy. I'm going upstairs. Tell my wife. After we shoes today. Hi, Rebetzin. How was it? My wife never gets a straight word out of me. Never. She always hears the same answer. Oh, it was great. How many people were there? Oh, it was packed. I always give the same broken record. She knows me already. She doesn't trust me. But when things are really bad, then I come up, when I notice that there's pillows all over the place, and everyone's taking a nap in between my drushes. So when that happens, I don't wait for my wife to ask me. I go right upstairs and I tell her, today was gavaldic. That's it. That's my style. I look at it positive, and I lie. My whole life I lie. Never say the truth. I want to tell you, I once did this. I didn't sleep enough. When you don't sleep enough, when I didn't sleep enough, I was dead. I just can't function. Everyone's like that. I can't. Oh, you didn't sleep with him again. One day he says, no, no, not me. And the Vardigas, they believe your hands are full of schmaltz herring, right? I took a piece of paper. I wrote it down. I slept great last night. That's all I did. For the rest of the day, I was a new person. You know how much is in your head? You know why? When you don't sleep, you don't function? Because you believe in the rules. Those are the rules. You didn't sleep. It's no good. It's got to be no good. You didn't eat that food that's healthy. You're dead. You're finished. I'm telling you, they took somebody. They gave him some food that was... They said it's fatty stuff. It wasn't. So all those parts of the digestive juices that come out to with something that's fat started working. And he would gain weight, even though he ate something that doesn't give you weight. But since they told him this stuff makes you gain, it's the fatty stuff, which it wasn't, it started working as if that was. You know what's in your head? Now, I got to get this. This is going to be history. I don't know. I don't know who this is, but I got a call from a young lady who tried to lose weight. And she took this diet, and that diet, and this diet, and that diet, and nothing worked. And finally she decided that she's going to go with B'tochen. And she started eating whatever she wanted. And she said, I have B'tochen, I'm losing weight. She's lost 15 pounds. Her friends were afraid of her. She's disintegrating. You know, nowadays you got to get real skinny, ladies especially. If you don't look like a stick, It's a serious problem. In America, you're not allowed to gain an, you know. I don't know. Chaim Konevsky looks very happy to me. He doesn't eat the mind. The Steibler lived his whole life. The altar for the body was heavy. All right? You're allowed to be heavy. Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Who? The only guy was heavy. There you go. What's wrong being heavy? Your blood's around. Shimon was heavy. Don't ask what the Gemara says about him. It says when he and Rav Lozer ben Shimon got together and their bellies were touching each other, a team of oxen could walk underneath, and they didn't even touch the underside of their bellies. That's a gadol be Rav Lozer ben Shimon was heavy. There you go. Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. You know, it kills people. Their worries about the rules, that kills people. Now I've got to tell you something about Corona. Now, I'm going to say something that's very unorthodox. I don't like to talk about people that come to me, but this thing I'm going to talk about, I still won't go into details because I could be good and morbid. I think I'd be much more popular if I started telling the stories that come my way. I don't like to talk. That's it. Unless there's something, a mitzvah that happened, you know, so we'll talk a little bit about. But this story, all I'm going to tell you is, somebody took the vaccine. I came here, one of the most horrific medical problems I ever heard. It was Hashem Yerachem. I can't discuss the details. Well, how did this happen to somebody? Because he took the vaccine. And that was that whole family will not touch the vaccine. This just happened. That whole family will not touch the vaccine. Now, I want to tell you, 2 years ago, there were signs all over Lakewood, take the flu shots. And everybody, it wasn't me. Everyone was saying, what's the flu? Who's getting the flu? Mitamol flu shots? And they said, well, all those people who took the flu shots, they got the flu. You think it's a joke? That's what people, they weren't joking. I heard my son in Kiryat Sefer. He told me that, what are people saying? All the people that are scared of, that take the most precautions, they get it. I read about this. Now, but this guy passed away. First of all, they're all going to get Olam Haba. Whoever took precautions is Lashem Shemayim. I will not be mekatrig in any Jew. Pumfaket! He did the right thing! Chas v'chalila to talk against people who took precautions with the mask, whatever. They're tzaddikim gemurim. But, I want it because Shabbat and Ma'ilat of Shesechem is the biggest mitzvah in the world. Can't imagine the Chazanish, that yes, the Chazanish, he didn't want to go with the baked matzahs because he wasn't feeling good. He said, it says in Shabbat and Ma'ilat of Shesechem, what happened to the Chazanish? It's all medactive mitzvahs. How come he doesn't want to So the Chazon Ish said, it's Shmatim and Samatis. Shmatim Ma'oi L'Nafshei Seifeh. You help going to the gym, whatever it is, taking a walk. Rabbi Miller outlived all the people that lived near him. Why? Because they used to make fun of he's going on his walks. And he outlived everybody because Isaac and Shmiras are good. It's a mitzvah. Isaac and Shmiras are good. It's the biggest mitzvah. I'm all for it. However, I want to be Ma'eda. When you do that, don't rely on what you're doing. Don't rely on that mess. Don't rely on that medicine. Don't rely on that stuff. You're losing the Eibishter. That now you're in trouble. That I'm against. I'll fight anybody on that one. Did all the precautions because you believe in the precaution? Now, that's the son of the Rambam. Three Rishonim all say that when you take a pill, you're not allowed to believe in the power of the pill. You're supposed to believe it's Hashem. And you're supposed to believe that even a Dover Amazik can cure you. And they bring riots from Psukim all over Tanakh. Three riots, famous riots, where a Dover Amazik cured. So when you take that, do it like that, then we're fine. We're best friends. I don't care what you do. You take a precaution. Don't take precaution. But you go with the Eibishter, you'll be fine. You want to hear a story with a guy who had a debilitating disease that was incurable? Every time he had to have a pill, he was dead without that pill. And within 24 hours, his body shriveled up. He couldn't move this, couldn't move nothing, excruciating pain. That was the situation. The pill saved his life. So he ain't going to make enough. He deserves out of this pill. That's what's going to happen. The pill is right after the Eibishter. You go next. The pill. On the Halavai, it's out the other way. The pill will save me. This guy, every time he took the pill, he said, Eibishter, I don't believe in pills. I believe in you. You are going to make me gesund. Not the pill. The pill is a shliach, whatever. But it's not him. It's you. And every time he said it loud, for months and months and months, one day, he forgot his pills. He went to Israel, forgot his pills, and he thought, uh-oh, in 24 hours, I'm a basket case. He went to Israel for a week. The whole disease disappeared and never came back. Came home, took the bottle, and threw it in the garbage. How did that happen? Because every time he took the pill, he didn't have faith in the pill. He had faith in the Eibishter. Gotta say it. By the way, Kedai, to tell the Eibishter that he's your Meirah Derech. You need a Meirah Derech, how to do what you should do. I sometimes don't know what I'm doing. I say, Eibishter, please help me do the right thing. You are my Rebbe. Say it. You are my doctor. Say it. Hashem loves that. You making it official? I'm in charge? Okay, watch what happens. You're going to have Siyata Nishmai no matter what you do. You say it. Say it as much as you can. Look, how did Yosef make it big? Why was Yosef Matzliach? Every movie he made, wherever he went, he's on top. He's in jail. They love him in jail. Wherever he goes, Yosef is in charge. He's the big shot. How did he do that? Because Yosef HaTzadik, every movie made, Eibishter, please help me out. Eibishter, please help me out. Thank you, Eibishter. Everything. It's a powerful pasuk. Hashem Yimei, Rashi says, that was Yosef. I think it's good to do that. Every move you make, get a hold of the Eibishter, and he will help you. The more, the better. Now we're hitting Nisan, and Nisan's up to you. What if you consider Nisan, Nisim, and you talk about Nisim all day long? It's time for Nisim. We went out of Mitzrayim. It's time for Nisim. Now there's a younger man. You're going to get Nisim. Keep it in action. Don't stop. David still test you. Well, it didn't happen. Didn't happen. You just keep doing your thing. Watch what happens. This fellow who davens, I don't want to say what, when, and who. One thing I will say about him. I never saw somebody daven so sweet in my life. And the guy is a shasa tzaddik. He's one of my favorites. He's very different than me. I'm in Musar, he's in learning. That's the matzah. And he's fine. He'll get his Olam Haba. Even though he's not like me. It's okay. You're allowed to be different than me. But it's, of course, it's better to be like me. I'm joking. Anyway. So he met me. And he noticed, like, his davening was, first of all, you know, his davening is so beautiful. Within every Every hallelujah, another nigga, another nigga. It's beautiful. Well, he davens quietly by himself, and then he goes to the shtabach with everyone else. It's just his davening is delicious. And he made a remark about my davening, that I'm a little bit not as long as his. You know what I told him? I says, okay, you ready for this one? You're going to talk about Ezra, somebody say no. You're going to talk about Emes V'yatziv, Emes V'muna, Hashem, so many nisim and nisim, Gal Yisrael, Micha Micha, Nairas Helois, Oisefele, does wonders and wonders. Oh, that the davening's full of that. Every day it's coming out of your ears, this stuff. Do you believe in nisim? When you have an issue, you feel like we'll be all right. You know what I was saying all day? We're going to be fine. You don't sound like that. How come? I sound more like that than you do. How come? Because I spend more time learning Musa on B'tachin. I spend more time that when I do daven, I get a feeling. When I'm going to say that Hashem does all the nisim, and we say, I'm expecting that too. I have a different daven. It's worth it. So I'm not saying nobody should detract from his tefillah habits. Yeah, you can lose everything if you're not careful. Do what you're doing. But I want to recommend more time for Musa. It's worth it. More time for Musa. Learn more Musa. And your davening will be a different world. Anyway, back to Reb Gershon. So, Reb Gershon told me in Maisa that the Nazis, he got two Maises, he told me. He said like this. He didn't like to talk about himself, but this he told already. First of all, he lied about how he ended up with the Germans. How do you end up? All the Nevadians went to Siberia. How did you end up with the Germans? You know what he told me? Sakrunis. I was curious. I heard so much about the Germans. He says, I'm not such a smart guy, he tells me. I'm not so smart. Let's see what they're all about, you know. So I hung around. Let's see them. We heard so much about them. Let's see. He says, but I'm not scared, you know. It's a chassar, you know, I'm not scared. So I wanted to know Sakrunis, you know, Sakranut, you know. He said Sakrunis, you know. Sakranut. That's curiosity. I told this to Rav Galinsky. Galinsky burst out laughing. He goes, it's not true! I was there! And when the Nazis came to Bialystok, that was the party. By the way, the Shabbos before they came in, they just got the news the Nazis are coming to invade. The place got depressed. So Rav Gershon got up and he said, what? Today's Shabbos Kodesh. He jumped up on the table. He turned over the whole yeshiva. They're all dancing and singing. Don't give me no Nazi baloney. That's Reb Gershon. The Nazis are coming. Reb Gershon is laughing his head off. Dancing on the table on Shabbos. Got the whole yeshiva to turn around. Anyway. Now the yeshiva had a heta to leave on Shabbos. Because Pugaz Nefesh. Except for Avram Yaf. Now, there were 60 Navardigas that said were staying with the Nazis. When you leave, you're going to Vilna to get the Russians. They're going to check. They go, you're chilling, you're tittis, they're going to bother you. Yiddishkeit was staying with the Nazis. Our bodies are in danger. Better than that. They're on the Shamas. They're starting up in the Shamas, not us. 60 Navardigas stayed. One of them was Galinsky himself. One was Kras Borak Zatzal. And one was Reb Gershon. Now, the only thing is, and there's another 60 of them. And all the rest left on Shabbos, Avram Yaf and Rashiva said, look, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave on Shabbos. If I get caught, let them catch me. He was in the most trouble. The Rosh Hashivas were like, they used to torture them in public and everything. But Mitzvah Shabbos, I'll go. He left Mitzvah Shabbos. Reb Gershon, who had decided, no, I'm staying with the Nazis. So I can't let Rashiva go himself. You know what's going on in the streets? You know, they're bombing. You know, there's people on rooftops, snipers shooting everybody. I can't let him go himself. No, sir. So he went ahead. I'm going with him. And he went all the way to Vilna. He saw Avram Yaffet. You're safe. You're fine. Okay. Now he went back into the Nazis. Reb Gershon. I'm going back to the Nazis. No problem. He went back to Bialystok to be there. The Nazis, here I am. I'm available for you. Some people teased. He He was so used to doing the opposite of what he wanted to do that he automatically went there. That was his whole metzias, doing the opposite of what he wants to do. Isn't that something? Anyway, so he, and he simply wasn't afraid. He wasn't scared of nothing. The kids of the Nazis disappeared. They came and they disappeared. The yeshiva already disbanded, and everyone was going to Vilna, so they all went to Vilna. Come to Vilna, suddenly Siberia. Siberia, arrest, under arrest, Siberia. They stop people in the streets, KGB, NKVD agents, Siberia. Get on the train, goodbye, you're never going to see the light of day again, it's over, you got a hard labor, people. This guy, when he found he was going to Siberia, he was up all night crying like a baby. There was a bacha who cracked up from Nekritz. So the bacha, he went out of his mind. He started back dancing with the KGB guy, singing Simchas Torah Neguna. He went meshuggah when he found out he's going to Siberia. Siberia was, it was Gehenna. Mamish Gehenna of Gehenna of Gehenna. Can't imagine what went on there. I heard it from people who were there. It was sub-zero weather with white bears all over the place. They had to cut these trees and work day and night. I heard somebody, in order to survive in Siberia, you had to take boiling hot water and drink it twice a day. Then you could survive. Otherwise, it's impossible. So there's one of Vardiga, who his children wasn't going on the way he wanted to. It slipped off because his hair was an icicle. So he took the boiling hot water that they gave him to drink to keep him alive, because without that heat, you're dead. And he said, I have no problem with that. He rolled up his sleeve. He took the boiling hot water on his hand every day. Now I can put on my tefillin. And he survived. Oh, tzaddik, a yid, a famous. And this yid, I don't want to say who it was. Ruach HaKadosh, all his Ainikov told me about. And Rav Shlomo Maya said about him, he had Yilu Yo, that person. Okay. But, so, going to the Vardik. Everyone's going to all going to Siberia. Except Rav Gershon did not qualify. For whatever reason, you don't go to jail. Whatever reason. So Rav Gershon said, what? I'm not going to Siberia? They said, no. They locked the ticket office. The office there. They said, no, well, you're not going. You don't, for whatever reason. You're not. These people are under arrest. You're not. No, I don't like that. I want to be under arrest. I want to go to Siberia. All my friends are going. And you're leaving me here? No. I want to go to Siberia. Whoever didn't go was dancing in the streets. And Rav Gershon was just the opposite. I want to go to Siberia. I want to be with my friends. They said, no, you cannot go. You're not under arrest. So Galinsky told me this. The Trans-Siberian Railroad was pulling out, and he sees Rav Gershon standing on the tracks, crying like a baby. I wish I could come with you. Can you imagine the Madrega of Rav Gershon? Rav Gershon's Madrega. Anyway, he told me. So then the Nazis came, they took him. So he ended up with the Nazis again. So he was sleeping on the barracks one night, and suddenly a capo gives a yell at him, and he says, hey, you, you're a rabbi? So Rav Gershon, I don't have any smicha. What do you want from me? So he says, because he's scared, you know, rabbi, you're dead. So he says, I have something for you. Now, in the Vardig, they always learned. If a guy had kinnah, he learned the sefer in kinnah. If a guy had kass, he learned it. If a guy had whatever the problem of the time was, that's what you, that must have said was for you. In the time of Yisurim, of the concentration camp, it was a sefer on Yisurim is what we needed. Boom! This kapo says, you're a rabbi? No? I have found a book. It's for you. What's this? He opens it up. It's a leaket of all the chazals and the greatness of Yisur. Unbelievable. Perfect for the body. You learn Musa day and night. Terrific. The kids said, what happened to it? So this is what happened to it. They were standing. I guess Rav Gershon, what happened? They were standing in line in the apple, it's called, you know. In the morning, the roll call. They're all standing in line over there. They're freezing and they're counting everybody. And Rav Gershon's holding the sefer. And he's learning it. And they caught him with it. They ripped it out of his hands. They took a hose, they sprayed him until he fainted. That was the end of the service. I says, what'd you do that for? Didn't you realize that they'll take it from me? He says, I couldn't leave it. I loved it so much. So he had such a charis. He was so not afraid of losing it. He was so not afraid because, now, he had such betochen. Every day I have it now, I don't think 1 minute later. An eyewitness told me that he always had a sefer and they always took it away and the next day he always had another one. You know, he once went into, he got a hold of it. He used to sit and learn, stand and learn when everybody was busy digging holes for the graves there. He would stand there. He says, I'm not digging nothing. And he would stand there and he'd be learning. He got a hold of Mazurim with Mishnayos Rosh Hashanah, Mishnayos Sukkah, all day long going over those Mishnayos. Became a masmid. They remembered him back in Bialystok. He wasn't a masmid type. Suddenly he's a masmid. And the Nazis, he's not scared of them. And they got a little close, put it away, and took a shovel for a minute. Otherwise, I'm not working for them. In fact, he once said, this is what they say, he once made an announcement. Oh, these are Rishayim? I'm not working for them. So when they heard that, this Rasha, Kapo, heard it. He wanted to get on the good side of the Nazis. I'll report him what he said. And they'll give me extra food, you know. So he went to the commander's office over there to tell him, Rabbi Yeshin. Eyewitnesses saw this. And he went to tell him, Rabbi Yeshin. And as soon as he opened the door, so this Nazi commander took out a gun. He opened his mouth to talk, and he shot him in the mouth and killed him. So nothing happened. Then another Meister, Rabbi Yeshin, said, I'm not eating this food. There was a treifa, a shilas with treifa. I'm not eating it. So how are you going to live? There was an elderly woman, a Jewish woman, who had just arrived. She was a great cook. The Nazis grabbed her to cook for them. And she found out about Rabbi Yeshin, that he wasn't eating any of the food, and she prepared salads for him. There's another Maisa. Guess what he did with all the salads? He gave everything away. It was unbelievable. He used to leave over whenever he ate, he left over. In the concentration camp, people went out of their mind, and he's still leaving over. That's my minute. I don't care where it is. Concentration camp, no problem. Leave over. They had lines waiting to eat his food. He was like unbelievable tzaddik, nothing like him. The kid said one day, he was walking. The Nazi had a dog on a leash, and all the 50 Jews had to go into the field to start digging a grave. A mass grave for everybody, and they're going. And suddenly, the Nazi gives a yell at him. Hey, you! Yeah? I got something for you. He takes an apple, he bites it, and he throws. And he was so scared when he yelled at him. He throws it to him. He had an apple. He probably shared it with everybody. He had a lot of stories of Nisim and Nisim. Every day at another nest. There's a famous story where they took... He got a talis. This he told me himself. There was a big Rebbe over there that his Rebbetzin one day found out that the Rebbe is leaving. And the Rebbe is leaving. And he knew where the Rebbe was going. No one's going to see him again. And he didn't want to tell the Rebbetzin, but he said, can I borrow your husband's talis? Because he knew it's over with him. He took the talis, and in the concentration camp, he wore the talis. And how did they catch him? When they stand there every morning for roll call, they noticed he was wearing a talis gadol. He was wearing a talis gadol underneath. No problem. They tortured him. He did this keseda. David shall help him. Chutzia galenu. I'll call Yisrael. I mean, leilin ishmat saif dielam wants to do anything with zikar rab or to learn extra musa. Your gesher of Chaim Avram. Chutzia galenu should be a melech yesha. We should be zeichet to go, but there is no vading. Your side is Chof Tes Adar Aleph.